Welcome to Mental Health on the Farm. I'm PM Yankee, a farm broadcaster in Wisconsin. This program's brought to you by Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational experience, with the cooperation of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. We recognize that weather, economics, and now the pandemic have taken a tremendous toll on farmers and farm families all across the United States. This program is designed to continue the dialogue on resources that are available and how you can take that first step to finding help. Joining us today, our panelists. Jason Meadows is a pharmacist and a cattle farmer from outside of St. Louis in St. James, Missouri. Lowell Neitzel is a farmer from the Lawrence, Kansas area. Adrian DeSutter is a farm wife from New Windsor, Illinois, who also holds a master's degree in counseling. And I'll start with Ted Matthews. Ted is a mental health practitioner from Minnesota. He's got over 30 years of experience counseling in rural areas and will kick off our conversation. So, Ted, in your 30 years of working with farmers in rural settings, what's the number one issue that you think people need to understand when it comes to relating to farmers, their stress, and the stigma of seeking assistance for mental health?
Farmers do not trust psychologists, but they trust Ted. And I think one of the big things that people that work with farmers need to understand is, you know, they're looking at, can you help me or can't you? And are you on the same page and do you understand what farming is? I've had a lot of farmers say that they've talked to psychologists in the past, and they spent half their time trying to get the psychologist up to speed to understand what farming is all about, and they're in there for their own issues, not to educate the psychologist. So, and that frustrated several of the farmers that I've talked to that have tried working with other psychologists. So, I think that's just a major factor.
You know, we've got more resources out there now than maybe ever before, Ted, but you do kind of take issue with just prescribing a toll-free number or a website as the right way to channel people.
Absolutely. In the first place, you know, we have a lot of websites. We also have a lot of ways to deal with stresses and so on. There's hotlines for suicide. There's local hotlines. There's state hotlines. There's national hotlines. And I would suggest to anyone that if you want to find out what they do and what they say and how they direct people, call them and ask them. You don't have to lie and say that you're under stress. Just call them and say, okay, if I have somebody that needs to call a hotline, what do you do? How do you do it? What would you recommend? What directions can they go in? And so if that happens, then you have the opportunity to say to somebody that you're really seeing as stressed out that you know what they do. And if you don't like what they said, then find another hotline. Minnesota is great, by the way. They have a really good hotline, but it took them a long time to really develop the system that they have. And it's not as easy as it sounds. So check them out. See what they do and how they do it. And when it comes to therapists, just because they say they work with farmers doesn't mean they understand farming. And you need to understand farmers to do the best work that you can. So I would suggest to all, I mean, we definitely need more psychologists working with farmers, but they need to meet them halfway. They need to understand what farmers are all about and what their specific issues are and so on.
Why are farmers so unique, Ted? Ted Matthews, along with us, a mental health practitioner from Minnesota. What is it about their DNA, their makeup, that makes it so challenging to assist them when it comes to mental health?
Well, you know, when people talk about stress and anxiety and depression, the first thing I like to tell people is, if it was as simple as identifying it, then why are there 100,000 books written on it? So when you look at stress, anxiety, depression, we're all unique. And every farmer has stress. It's just a matter of how they handle it. So when farmers, farm people and farm families feel stress, it's a matter of what are you going to do with it, not do you have it. And how much can you handle? Well, you don't want to find out at the end how much you can handle. You want to accept the fact that it's stressful and start looking at what can I do to lower that stress right away. Because the more it builds, the higher the potential for it goes too far. And of course, sometimes that ends up in suicide, and that's the last place we want it to go.
Ted, let's address the stigma of even starting the conversation, of even going down that path. How do you get that conversation started when it comes to a farmer's mental health and taking the first step?
Well, first thing I do is I tell them we're talking about mental health, not mental illness. And the focus needs to be on that understanding, because the reason a lot of times farmers don't seek help until far too late is because they say, I'm not crazy. I can handle this. And it's like, so why wouldn't you want to lower your stress beforehand? And the reason is they think mental illness and they think they're not crazy, so they don't do it. They won't do it. So that's the first thing I tell them, is that we're talking about mental health. And why wouldn't you want to be healthier? Everyone should want to be healthy. Heck, the happiest person alive, why wouldn't their goal to be even happier? Why wouldn't you? And so when it comes to stress, if you have a low amount of stress, why wouldn't you want even less? So don't make it something that says there has to be something really wrong with me in order to deal with and to lower my stress and anxiety and depression. All of us want to be heard, not told. So if I want to be heard and I'm talking to my spouse or my best friend or one of my kids, I want them to hear what I have to say. I don't want them to fix me. We want to be heard. We want to have people understand what we're feeling. And if they try to fix us, then that's going to totally detract from what my goal is.
So I want to handle this. My wife and I will handle this, Ted. We'll talk about it after chores, or we'll have a cup of coffee and talk about it. There are some benefits and some real challenges if the only person you've got to talk to is the spouse or partner.
Yeah, that can be really, really difficult because, for one, spouses oftentimes work off the farm. And so, women are probably the biggest change in farming over the last 5,000 years. In the last 25 years, just everything has changed as far as their role. Up until, for hundreds, thousands of years, a woman's role was everything inside the home and to raise little farmers. That was their job. Well, now they do the books, they work off the farm, and they can be the primary farmer. I mean, there just aren't very many things anymore that weigh more than 50 pounds on a farm. So because of that, they are far more involved in the farming, and a lot of women do the books. And if women do the books, they have an opinion. And oftentimes that opinion can be different than their husband's, like, why do we have to get a John Deere? Why can't we get a used one? Why can't we wait until next year? All of those things are based on the numbers that they're looking at, and they're trying to be helpful. But it's difficult because, their parents or grandparents didn't do it that way. The husband did all of those things. So it makes it a lot more difficult. And ironically, now men need to communicate with their spouses more than they ever have in the past. And women are working off the farm, so they have far less time and they have far more need to communicate. So, when you look at your priority list, one of the problems that a lot of farmers have is that old concept, which is, when everything is done and I get done with everything, then if I have time, I'll talk to my wife or whoever. That is not a good system. You need now more than ever to talk through things with your spouse, because we're talking about time, way more risk now. What a lot of non-farmers don't understand is that it's probably the only occupation I can think of that when you're out, you're out. There is no ever getting back in. I don't care what you do, you're not going to get back in, because land prices are so high that if you don't already have the land, how good luck If you're not already a farmer and you don't integrate that into your farm, good luck. I mean, imagine you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm 25 years old and I want to be a farmer. 50 years ago, you could have done it. You could have done the things that you needed to do. Now it is not possible, which makes it far more stressful, because how do you then cope with losing the farm? You know, you lost the farm. And, you know, and if it's a third, fourth, fifth generation and you lost the farm, there is no family getting back into it. And whose fault is it? Even though you could prove on paper it's not your fault for losing the farm, because everything in farming is educated guesses, you're still going to blame yourself. And that can be incredibly traumatic. And it also can mean that you hold on to the farm longer than you should, simply because you just can't conceive of letting it go until somebody says, I own it now. So those are really difficult situations in farming that, you know, simply 50 years ago didn't exist.
A complicated and complex scenario, that is for sure. Thank you, Ted. That's Ted Matthews, a mental health practitioner from Minnesota, over 30 years of experience counseling in rural areas, kicking us off on this conversation about mental health on the farm. I'm Pam Yonke. Remember, this program is brought to you by Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational experience, along with the cooperation of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. If you'd like to hear more on the subject of mental health on the farm and in rural communities, be sure to register for the 2021 special edition of Commodity Classic, being presented digitally March 2nd through March 5th. A session entitled Mending the Stress Fence will take place on Friday, March 5th, online at 8 a.m. Central. That session is sponsored by Farm Credit and the American Soybean Association. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment after these messages.
This year, you can attend Commodity Classic without leaving your farm, because it's being delivered digitally and direct to your farm March 2nd through 5th. Outstanding education, top-notch speakers, and the latest innovation and technology, all on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Register at commodityclassic.com. And thanks to our agribusiness sponsors, the first 5,000 farmers who register will have their $20 registration fee covered. The 2021 special edition of Commodity Classic, March 2nd through 5th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Thanks so much again to Ted Matthews from Minnesota for sharing his insights with us today. In our next episode of Mental Health on the Farm, we'll hear from a young woman with a master's degree in counseling who married into farm life. She'll help us understand how to start a conversation with someone who may be resistant to asking for help. On behalf of Commodity Classic and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, I'm Pam Yonke, saying thanks for listening, and please, stay healthy, physically, emotionally, and mentally.